Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review dated Thursday, November 6, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Community, Branching Out Holiday Lights, Old, New Features to Greet Trees on the Tees Visitors by Jeanette Beckett, Decatur. There are still leaves on the trees and golfers on the course. But that isn't preventing Decatur Park District crews from getting into the holiday spirit. The maintenance crew is hanging Christmas lights from the Hickory Point Golf Course evergreens and other trees, preparing for the annual Trees on the Tees. Tickets for Trees on the Tees go on sale beginning at 10 a.m. Thursday, November 6, through the Decatur Park District's website. Time slots are available for December 3rd through 7th and December 10th through 14th. Admission for walkers is $6 per person. To ride a golf cart around the course, admission is $9 per person. Trees on the Tees will have 48 decorated business-sponsored trees along the course and 20 nonprofit-sponsored trees decorated in the pavilion. In addition to this year's holiday festivities is the Heat Wave Cruiser. For those who want to stay toasty warm during their experience, said Katie Myers, Director of Marketing and Communications. The enclosed heated golf carts can fit 4 adults. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, the rental cost is $150 per cart. On Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, the cost is $200 per cart. Only 2 rentals are available every half hour. To reserve a cart, call 217-422-5911 or email kmyers, M-Y-E-R-S, at decparks.com. The special VIP experience will return this year. The ornate 7-passenger golf cart will include a driver, drinks, music, and hot mini donuts. Reservations are available during the 6 p.m., 7 p.m., and 8 p.m. time slots for $275 per cart. The Park District has also revamped the parking area, naming the lots and Decatur Park District shuttles. The City of Decatur is also helping us out on busy nights with buses, along with the Village of Forsyth, allowing us to utilize their parking lots, Myers stated. Other activities scheduled for Trees on the Tees include hot chocolate and s'mores by the fire pit and entertainment by the Decatur Park District dancers. The Park District has its own decorations, including the fairy tree and the Island of Misfit Toys area. Education. Bright outlook at Educators Luncheon. Decatur Schools Eye Progress on Math Dual Credit Programs by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Millikan University President Dean Pribinow has only been on the job for 4 months, but that's long enough for him to have made some observations. Educators, he said, often speak of ensuring that students are college ready, but at Millikan, with 35% of the students first generation college students, the university needs to turn that around. We need to be student ready, Pribinow said at the State of Education Luncheon hosted Tuesday by the Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce. Pribinow, Richland Community College President Chris Valdez, and Decatur Public Schools Superintendent Rochelle Clark all gave presentations on their institutions at the luncheon, which is an annual event. The luncheon was held at the Millikan University Commons. Millikan has approached this student-ready mindset in several ways, Pribinow said. One way is with partnerships with area community colleges for easy transfer with an associate's degree, so students can complete a bachelor's degree at Millikan. Another is by adding sports, such as women's flag football and women's wrestling, both coming in 2026. With 45% of Millikan's enrollment made up of student athletes, it's clear that sports are an important part of the college experience, and Millikan needs to support that, he said. Fewer students are choosing to major in liberal arts, he said, and more are choosing majors that will lead directly to careers. Smaller universities like Millikan have historically charged higher tuition, but also had a higher rate of scholarships. But that's changing. 2 years ago, Millikan had a reset on their tuition, he said, to account for fewer families willing and able to pay full tuition. The cost is now $26,500, with a guarantee that tuition will not go up more than $1,000 per year for the students' college careers. And with the opening of Millikan Market, a food pantry for students, Millikan is seeking to fill the needs of the 40% of students experiencing food insecurity. In its first 3 hours of opening, Millikan Market had 61 clients, so the need is there. At Richland, Valdez said administration realizes that education has to change and adapt to changing needs of the community or become obsolete. In 2017, his first year as president, he met with manufacturers in the area and learned that they needed Richland's help in producing people trained to fill jobs. In fall of 2018, he had our first cohort of Enrich, Valdez said. Technical skills plus essential skills equals changed lives. Since then, Enrich, a program aimed at underrepresented populations with multiple barriers to employment, has since trained 3,500 people, of whom 90% go right to work and 78% are Black. In that same time frame, 67 new Black-owned businesses have opened, run by graduates. And 21 new healthcare professionals are employed at Decatur Memorial Hospital, thanks to the Enrich program. Valdez also talked about the success of the dual credit programs, particularly in regard to Decatur Public Schools Prep Academy. Dual credit programs, where high school students earn college credit while they're earning their high school diploma, saved $1.3 million for area families, an average of $25,000 per student. If we want to build the community, this is the way, Valdez said. 60% of students who attend community college stay in the community. In 2016, Richland's financial reserves amounted to $267,000, Valdez said, and now that is $14 million. In the last academic year, $2 million in scholarships were awarded, and the college has a just-in-time fund to help students in need who have an emergency, such as a flat tire, to ensure that those students can concentrate on their educations instead of having to miss classes or drop out due to personal issues. On the primary education front, Clark said it takes 3 to 5 years to see results when a school district makes changes, and the Decatur School District is seeing that now. The English language arts proficiency rate in 2022-23 for the district was 7.2%, and this year it's 16.4%. Math has gone from 3% in 2022-23 to 7.2% this year. In the 2023-24 academic year, career and technical education produced 36 certified students, and in 2024-25 it was 236. The graduation rate for the district averages out to 79%, with 76% at Eisenhower High School and 81% at MacArthur, which equals the 6% rise statewide. The Prep Academy had 25 graduates in May, which puts those students one step ahead of many graduating seniors, Clark said. Our board continues to do what is best for kids. The class of 2029 is looking to graduate 50 Prep Academy students. Those graduates have both a high school diploma and an associate's degree from Richland, allowing them to save significant time and money on college, she said. 2 years ago, the district announced a crackdown on discipline due to the number of fights, she said. I knew expelling students would not sit well with the community, she said. The first year of 32 students expelled and offered online courses to continue their educations, plus mental health counseling, only 8 took advantage of it, she said. In 2025, of 22 students who were expelled without a stay, the opportunity to attend one of the area alternative education programs, 13 students took the option of online courses and mental health counseling. The impact of expulsions was huge, Clark said. We saw a 48% decrease in egregious behaviors. Fights. This is just how they communicate. But that's changing, and the students are learning better ways to resolve conflict, she said. The district, like most school districts nationwide, has struggled with teacher shortages, she said. But thanks to out-of-the-box thinking by the Human Resources Department, there's been a significant change there, too. The staff placed ads on buses, on billboards, and went far afield from just putting those signs in Decatur, and decreased the staff vacancies by 50%. This school year began with 84 new teachers, of whom 39 are international teachers hired through a partnership with Peoria Public Schools. A meet and greet with the new teachers will be 2:30 to 5 p.m. Wednesday, November 12th, at the Hostetler 241 North Main Street, and the community is invited to attend, she said. Supreme Court weighs Trump's sweeping tariffs by Lindsay Whitehurst, Associated Press, Washington. President Donald Trump's power to unilaterally impose far-reaching tariffs was before the Supreme Court on Wednesday in a pivotal test of executive power with trillion-dollar implications for the global economy. The Republican administration is trying to defend the tariffs central to Trump's economic agenda after lower courts ruled the emergency law he invoked doesn't give him near limitless power to set and change duties on imports. The Constitution says Congress has the power to levy tariffs, but the Trump administration argues that in emergency situations, the president can regulate import taxes like tariffs. Trump called the case one of the most important in the country's history and claimed a ruling against him would be catastrophic for the economy. The challengers argue the 1977 Emergency Powers Law Trump used doesn't even mention tariffs, and no president before has used it to impose them. A collection of small businesses say the uncertainty is driving them to the brink of bankruptcy. The case centers on two sets of tariffs. The first came in February on imports from Canada, China, and Mexico after Trump declared a national emergency over drug trafficking. The second involves the sweeping reciprocal tariffs on most countries that Trump announced in April. Multiple lawsuits have been filed over the tariffs, and the court was scheduled to hear suits filed by Democratic-leaning states and small businesses focused on everything from plumbing supplies to women's cycling apparel. Lower courts struck down the bulk of his tariffs as an illegal use of emergency power, but the nation's highest court might see it differently. Trump helped shape the conservative majority court, naming three of the justices in his first term. The justices so far have been reluctant to check his extraordinary use of executive power, handing him a series of wins on its emergency docket. Still, those were short-term orders. Little of Trump's wide-ranging conservative agenda has been fully argued before the nation's highest court. That means the outcome could set the tone for wider legal pushback against his policies. The justices have been skeptical of executive power claims before, such as when then-President Joe Biden tried to forgive $400 billion in student loans under a different law dealing with national emergencies. The Supreme Court found the law didn't clearly give the president the power to enact a program with such a big economic impact, a legal principle known as the Major Questions Doctrine. Challengers say Trump's tariffs should get the state treatment, the same treatment, since they'll have a much greater economic effect, raising some $3 trillion over the next decade. The government, on the other hand, claims the tariffs are different because they're a major part of his approach to foreign affairs, an area where the court should not second-guess the president. The challengers also are trying to channel the conservative justices' skepticism about whether the Constitution allows other parts of the government to use powers reserved for Congress, a concept known as the non-delegation doctrine. Trump's interpretation of the law could mean anyone who can regulate can also impose taxes, they say. The Justice Department counters that legal principle is for governmental agencies, not for the president. If he eventually loses at the high court, Trump could impose tariffs under other laws, but those have more limitations on the speed and severity with which he could act. The aftermath of a ruling against him also could be complicated. If the government must issue refunds for the tariffs they collected, $195 billion in revenue as of September. The Trump administration won over four appeals court judges who found the 1977 International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEEPA, gives the president authority to regulate importation during emergencies without explicit limitations. In recent decades, Congress ceded some tariff authority to the president, and Trump has made the most of the power vacuum. Courts. Man nets 20 years in deadly burglary. Six murder charges dropped in plea deal by Tony Reed, Decatur. An accused killer of both a Decatur mom and her unborn child took a plea deal and was sent to prison for 15 years. Matavius A. Anderson had been scheduled to face a Macon County Circuit Court bench trial Tuesday in the March 8, 2023 deaths of 20-year-old Janiyah B. Thomas. She was 6 months pregnant and her baby died with her. But Anderson, 21, had a last-minute change of mind and took a plea deal October 30th that saw him admit to a charge of residential burglary related to the case. In return, presiding judge Thomas Griffith agreed to dismiss six alternate murder counts. The judge also dismissed charges accusing Anderson of the aggravated discharge of a gun, aggravated battery to a child involving permanent disability. Police reports from the scene of the shooting, a residence in the 1300 block of North Woodford Street, had described how one of the bullets that cut down Thomas also hit her then 4-year-old daughter in the head, destroying her right eye. The mother had been trying to shelter the child with her body as gunshots tore through the building. An arrest warrant filed by the Decatur Police Department said Anderson and his younger brother, Matarian A. Anderson, had been involved with others in a dispute with people inside the Woodford Street home. The Andersons felt threatened after a gun was flashed by the other group during threats made on social media, and police said they decided to make a preemptive strike. Matarian Anderson, then just 15, had been the trigger man, walking up to the house in the late afternoon and opening fire from 40 yards away and spraying bullets in a 3-second burst. Matarian Anderson denied murder charges, but was convicted after a 2-day bench trial before Griffith. Sentenced May 29th, he received 20 years in prison for the death of Thomas and another 20-year sentence to run consecutively for the death of her unborn child. Griffith, however, had found him not guilty of a charge accusing him of the intentional aggravated battery of Thomas's 4-year-old wounded daughter. A third defendant, Tarlan R. Mackey, 19, had taken a plea deal that saw him admit a charge of burglary related to the shooting after charges of murder and aggravated battery were dropped. Mackey was sentenced on April 16th to 10 years in prison. Rape charges dropped after victim dies. Accused back in prison on parole violation charge by Tony Reed, Decatur. Rape charges have been dropped against a Decatur man because the victim, and only witness in the case, has died from a drug overdose. Macon County Coroner Michael Burkham confirmed that the body of 64-year-old woman was found October 2nd in her home in the 300 block of West Marietta Street. She died after taking cocaine and fentanyl. The rape charge accused DeShwanta L. Robinson, 51, of attacking the woman in the early hours of December 20th, after he had shown up at the Marietta Street address with a friend of the victim. The woman told police the friend had left after about an hour, and Robinson remained, strumming a guitar and saying he would wait for the friend to come back, according to a sworn affidavit from the Decatur Police Department. The woman said she had gone to her bedroom and fell asleep listening to Robinson play his guitar. She said she was slapped awake by the defendant sometime later and raped after being put in fear of her life. Robinson told police he was at the victim's home, but denied raping her. He had been due to face trial October 20th, but the charges against him were dropped at an October 9th hearing in Macon County Circuit Court. An updated filing in the court record, entered October 16th, added docket entry of October 9th, wherein the case was dismissed without prejudice, is supplemented to show that the alleged victim died on October 2nd, 2025. Robinson, however, didn't get to walk out of court a free man. He was shipped back to the Graham Correctional Center after the allegations against him triggered a parole violation. Prison records show he had been released on parole on February 6, 2024, after pleading guilty in 2003 to charges of home invasion and multiple counts of armed robbery. He was punished with sentences of 30 years and two terms of 20 years each, with one of the 20-year terms ordered to run concurrently with the other, making a total sentence of 50 years. Robinson is scheduled to be paroled again on February 5th, 2027. What's happening? High school to hold Veterans Day event. Mount Zion. Mount Zion High School invites area veterans to a Veterans Day assembly, 10 a.m., Monday, November 10th. The senior contemporary American history class will host, and the assembly will, with the origins, music, and traditions associated with patriotism. Millikan grad to talk Wayne Earp Civil War. Anti-abortion centers offer more services by Jeff Mulleville and Kimberly Cruisi, Associated Press. Pregnancy centers in the U.S. that discourage women from getting abortions added more medical services and could be poised to expand further. The expansion, ranging from testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections to even providing primary medical care, unfolded for years. It gained steam after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, clearing the way for states to ban abortion. The push could get more momentum with Planned Parenthood closing some clinics and considering shuttering others. Following changes to Medicaid, Planned Parenthood is not just the nation's largest abortion provider, but also offers cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, and other reproductive health services. We ultimately want to replace Planned Parenthood with the services we offer, said Heather Lawless, founder and director of Reliance Center in Lewiston, Idaho. She said about 40% of patients at the anti-abortion center are there for reasons unrelated to pregnancy, including some who use the nurse practitioner as a primary caregiver. The changes frustrate abortion rights groups, who, in addition to opposing the center's anti-abortion messaging, say they lack accountability, refuse to provide birth control, and most offer only limited ultrasounds that cannot be used for diagnosing fetal anomalies because the people conducting them don't have that training. A growing number also offer unproven abortion pill reversal treatments. Because most of the centers don't accept insurance, the federal law restricting release of medical information doesn't apply to them, though some say they follow it anyway. They also don't have to follow standards required by Medicaid or private insurers, though those offering certain services generally must have medical directors who comply with state licensing requirements. There are really bedrock questions, said Jennifer McKenna, a senior advisor for Reproductive Health and Freedom Watch, a project funded by liberal policy organizations that researches the pregnancy centers about whether this industry has the clinical infrastructure to provide the medical services it's currently advertising. Thomas Glessner, founder and president of the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, a network of 1,800 centers, said the centers have government oversight through their medical directors. Their criticism, he said, comes from a political agenda. Perhaps best known as crisis pregnancy centers, these mostly privately funded and religiously affiliated centers expanded services such as diaper banks ahead of the Supreme Court's 2022 Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization ruling. As abortion bans kicked in, the centers expanded medical, educational, and other programs, said Moira Gall, a scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, the research arm of SBA Pro-Life America. They are prepared to serve their communities for the long term, she said. In Sacramento, California, for instance, Alternatives Pregnancy Center, in the last 2 years, added family practice doctors, a radiologist, and a specialist in high-risk pregnancies, along with nurses and medical assistants. Alternatives, an affiliate of Heartbeat International, one of the largest associations of pregnancy centers in the U.S., is some patients' only health provider. When the Associated Press asked to interview a patient who received only non-pregnancy services, the clinic provided Jessica Rose, 31, a woman who took the rare step of detransitioning after spending 7 years living as a man, during which she received hormone therapy and a double mastectomy. For the last 2 years, she's received all medical care at Alternatives, which has an OBGYN who specializes in hormone therapy. APC provided me a space that aligned with my beliefs, as well as seeing me as a woman, Rose said. She said other clinics tried to make me think that detransitioning wasn't what I wanted to do. Few, if any, pregnancy centers advertise that they provide help with detransitioning. Alternatives treated 4 similar patients over the past year, though that's not its main mission, Director Heidi Matsky said. Briefly, California Republicans filed a federal lawsuit Wednesday to block a new U.S. House map that California voters decisively approved at the ballot. Proposition 50 is designed to help Democrats flip as many as 5 congressional House seats in the midterm elections next year. Shine. France's government said Wednesday it is considering suspending access to the Shein online marketplace until it proves its content conforms to French law, after authorities found illegal firearms and childlike sex dolls on sale on the fast fashion giant's website. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, November 6th, 2025. Please stay tuned.